The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey there, classmates. Tune in to Middle Class Film Class every Monday and Wednesday for weekly movie news, streaming picks, and one deep dive review.
The Batman trailer. There was a teaser. There was a trailer. Trailer 1, trailer 2, final trailer. I don't know if it's the same one. How many trailers do we need
exactly?
Leave an email or a voicemail to join in the discussion.
Bullshit artist!
Yeah, buddy!
All right.
Awesome. You're going full Danzig.
That's right, I am. My trans music
has no power over me.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 344. I hope all is well with you, and I want to thank you for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. My guest for this episode is a fellow podcaster who, interestingly enough, has not been doing it for very long, but does a fantastic job. She is one of the hosts of the FSF Popcast, which used to be actually two separate podcasts. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Of course, I'm talking about Kathleen Wass. Now, Kathleen is partners with, of course, Tim and Nick, who used to run the Funny Science Fiction Podcast and the Pop Culture Addicts Podcast. And as you'll hear, running two separate podcasts was a little too much, so they merged them together with a new rebranding of the FSF Popcast. Still the same great quality, still the same great hosts, Nick, Tim, and of course Kathleen. And if you haven't checked it out, you really do need to. Wherever you find your podcasts, you can find FSF Popcast. Kathleen and I are going to talk about a ton of things, not only just podcasting, but also a lot of geeky things. You're going to hear a lot about Star Trek, Star Wars, the Renaissance Fest, Doctor Who. I mean, it's going to be a cornucopia of pop culture goodness, so you do not want to shut off this episode. But before I get to my conversation with Kathleen, I need to let you know about a great sponsor of the PVD Cast. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. I tell you every single time that I do an episode of the PVD Cast that if you need a comic book store to call your own, look no further than World's Greatest Comics. They have everything that you need for your fandom. I mean, single issues, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, various collectibles. They have hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. As I said, they got you covered. So if you're in the area, you need to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com. And they're pretty active on their Facebook page. So check them out at WG Comics. And if you interact with anybody from the store, whether online or in person, please let them know that you heard about World's Greatest from yours truly right here on the PVD Cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with podcaster Kathleen Wass. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined this afternoon by a fellow podcaster, one of the many people that bring you the Funny Science Fiction Podcast, Kathleen Wass. Kathleen, how are you today?
I am so good, John. I am super excited to be here. A little bit nervous that it's like, I'm the guest. This is weird.
You've never done this before?
I mean, I have, but like, it's always okay. Been like Tim, or it's never just been me. This is cool.
Well, this is your time to shine.
It is. That's... I'm sorry for your listeners.
No. You know, let's talk. Let's go ahead and just discuss real quick. What is the Funny Science Fiction Podcast?
Well, we are actually recently rebranded to the FSF Popcast. So Tim and I had actually started another show, a second show, Pop Culture Addicts. And as much as we loved that, we loved getting to explore the world of pop culture outside of science fiction. It got to be a little much with multiple shows. So we blended it together with the Funny Science Fiction Podcast, creating the FSF Popcast. So we talk everything under the sun. Our motto is all nerdy, no dirty. We are a family-friendly show, but it is the anything Star Wars, Marvel, DC, you name it, we'll talk about it. I mean, we've had everything from Darren McCarty, former Red Wings player, Carol Baskin, Sam Witwer. We have had so many very, very cool guests on our show because we get to talk about everything and how what they do influences our daily life.
Well, let's talk about working with your compadres, if you will. How is it working with Tim and Nick?
You know, it's really, really cool. Tim and his wife, Shayna, and my husband, John, and I, we've been friends about 7 years, something like that. We met through mutual friends, and it was so funny. It's like we met Tim and Shayna, and it was this moment of the polar opposites and yet so similar. And we just clicked. And it's like Tim and I are somehow the same person. And the number of times that like he'll say something and I'll start laughing and he's like, don't even, just don't start with me. He's started to tell people that I am the little sister he never wanted. And yet he got.
Do you wear that with a badge of honor, by the way, that title?
For sure. And it's so funny is then we have Nick who, I mean, we refer to him as the stash, and I think he refers to himself as the stash more than we do, honestly. But he's kind of our quiet one who balances us out and somehow keeps us in line. And I feel bad for him because that's a lot of work. But he somehow is the normal one in this group. Our editor is actually my husband. So the number of times that during our interviews, we will like break the fourth wall to talk to the editor with the, hey, so you're going to want to edit out what we just did. That's really dumb. Or, hey, make that Patreon content because that was really dumb, but it's funny. It's kind of cool to get to work with these three guys.
You just mentioned Patreon, and I'm going to be honest, Kathleen, that's one thing I've always wanted to do. But God, just the amount of time that takes up.
We are still in the process of setting up our Patreon. But
okay, so it's not up and ready then.
It's not yet, but it's coming. It's coming soon, guys. And I feel like the majority of the Patreon content is really just going to be a blooper reel. And I really hope that you guys appreciate that and enjoy that as much as we do, because there is a lot.
Yeah, I thought about years ago doing one, not years ago, but a couple of years ago, and just talking to some other podcasters. They were like, John, you know, you just can't just throw up old episodes. You got to create new content. And I'm like, oh, I'm already swamped with just doing the PVD cast. And then, you know, most recently adding on Matt Talk and our Larry Hankin project and a bunch of, I'm like, I don't even have time for a fourth thing to do.
Yeah, and that is definitely the struggle, which is when we shrunk down from FSF Pop or Funny Science Fiction Podcast and Pop Culture Addicts, when we shrunk it down into the FSF Popcast, and it was the okay, we are still giving you as much content just in one spot that maybe we can separate this out and we can start up a Patreon, and we're working on it. It's just every time we feel like we're there and we're gonna get it, then something else happens in our lives and it's the, wait, no, we're going to take a step back, but we will figure it out. Hopefully soon we will have a Patreon.
You know, let's talk about life, because you're a mom of a 4-year-old. So how do you balance doing your podcast, doing things that you have to do in your regular life, you know, whether that's grocery shopping or whatever you do, and then also taking care of your daughter, correct?
Yes, my daughter. And my mother-in-law actually lives with us too. She has a lot of chronic health problems. So I am constantly busy, but that's okay. Like, I love it. I love what I do. Thankfully with the show, we have our live show on Monday nights. So we have an hour on Monday nights or 2.5 hours once a month when we do our Star Wars role-playing game. And then we typically only do our interviews on Thursdays or Fridays. And that's okay. I mean, that's an hour out of my time that once my husband's home from work and it's the, hey, I need to go focus for an hour and a half. You got this? Nobody's going to burn. Nobody's going to set anything on fire. Nobody's going to die. We got this, right? Right. And so typically that's how it works. There have been a couple of times where my daughter has made a guest appearance in episodes because whatever reason she's busted into my room while I'm trying to record. It's definitely a struggle. It's definitely a balancing act, but somehow I'm making it work. I'm not sure how.
Well, but you know what? That's, I think, one of the nice things. I hate to use the term nice, but I think that's one of the better things about being an independent podcaster is that you have the flexibility to fit it into your busy schedule. No matter, you know, if you are taking care of a 4-year-old, or you're taking care of a sick relative, or you have a day job, you know, and you're working a ton of hours, whatnot. I think that's one of the nice parts about doing it on an independent level. You have that flexibility.
Yeah. And I feel too, because it is independent, we don't have, the only person we're accountable to is ourselves, that we're not meeting somebody else's deadlines. We're meeting our own deadlines, which is hard enough on ourselves. Right. But yeah, I feel like that is definitely a benefit to being an independent podcaster is the only person's goals that I'm working on are my own.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about how you got started in podcasting, because if memory serves me correct, you haven't been doing it very long, correct?
I have not. It would have been, oh goodness, our funny science fiction episode with Dan Povenmire, which was spring of last year. So spring of 2021.
Okay.
That was my first episode. That was my first time doing anything podcast related, other than occasionally listening to a podcast.
Was Tim like the catalyst for you coming on and being a podcaster? Or did you think about it and go, oh man, I would like to be on a podcast, and that's how you ended up on FSF?
Honestly, I mean, like I was one of the admins of the Funny Science Fiction Facebook group of that time, or I was, okay. I was a member of the group. And so when Tim said, hey, we've got a couple of interviews coming up, would you like to guest co-host? And I'm like, I mean, I like talking to people, that would be cool. And he's like, well, we have an interview scheduled with Julie Dolan, the voice of Leia, or we've got Dan Povenmire, the co-creator of Phineas and Ferb. And he was thinking I would say yes to the Julie Dolan episode, that I would want to talk to her. And I'm like, I want to talk to Dan Povenmire so badly. Like, I absolutely adore Phineas and Ferb. It is one of my favorite cartoons. So he's like, okay, well, we'll schedule you for that one. His version of the story is a little bit different. He will tell you that I said that I'm going to co-host on that one.
He's rewriting history, huh?
It could have potentially have actually been that way. but he had asked if John and I had wanted to guest co-host. John had, was it before? John also guest co-hosted on our episode with Ryan Airy. And I don't remember if that was before or after mine. But Tim was trying to get more people into guest co-hosting because it was him and Nick and Drayton, the founder of our group. I think they were the three at that time. And Tim's like, we need some fresh faces. We need some fresh ideas. And I did the interview with Dan Povenmire. He scheduled an interview with Josh Pruitt, who is a huge Doctor Who fan. And Tim's like, I know nothing about Doctor Who. He's watched like 2 episodes ever. Hey, Kathleen, you like Doctor Who. Do you want to be in on this episode? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. And that one was kind of I went from guest co-host to co-host just in that episode. It was just never mind. You're stuck with us now.
What's one thing that you've learned about yourself through podcasting? And whether that is like the technical knowledge of how to build a podcast or something more, you know, I guess you could say philosophical about yourself or anything. What have you learned about yourself?
That's a big question. I have always enjoyed talking to people. I've always enjoyed getting to know people's stories, getting to know why they do what they do, what makes them tick. And I come from a very performance-driven family. My grandmother was an opera singer. My mom did theater, was in a traveling choir in college. I was in choir in school. I was in musicals in school. And so it was I found that I still need that performance outlet. I still need that adrenaline rush that comes with a performance. And I found that even in podcasting, I get that. But the character that I'm playing is no longer a character. It's really just me. And I feel like this is the first time that I've ever truly been comfortable being me.
Mm-hmm.
Just straight up being like, no, I am a huge nerd. Like, I will talk nerd stuff all day, every day. I will talk about my family until I'm blue in the face. I will talk about the influences that my parents had on me. And to then get to talk to these people who, through their screen work, influenced me as a kid, and getting to show that appreciation to them has been really, really cool. But I feel like I've learned to actually present myself as who I am unapologetically, and realized that people actually like me, which is really cool.
I'm going to put you on the spot real quickly here, because you've done a ton of interviews. And so I was just wondering if you could maybe give the listeners maybe two or three of your favorite interviews you've done.
Oh, man. So our interview with Armin Shimerman, who played Quark in Deep Space Nine, was absolutely huge. That was amazing for me. I grew up watching Deep Space Nine. Like, that was one of our shows that as a family we watched together. And I've always loved Quark. I've always been intrigued by the Ferengi and their Ferengi ways and the ways of the Ferenginar, if I'm going to go that nerdy. But that was really, really cool. And he was legitimately one of the sweetest people I have ever talked to. I have never been thanked by somebody that I'm interviewing, thanked for the questions, thanked for the appreciation as much as Armin thanked us for showing how much we cared about what he's done. And that was really cool. And for the end of the interview, for Armin to be like, hey, when can I come back, was amazing. That mm-hmm. was, I mean, this is a once in a lifetime interview opportunity, who then is like, hey, I want to talk to you guys more, which was awesome. He was also incredibly gracious and sent a signed photograph to my mom.
Oh, which, that's cool.
That was spectacular. Our interview with Armin was not long after my dad died. And so that was really big for my mom to get that from him. So that was really cool. We recently interviewed Will Wheaton, which was just as amazing as everybody expects talking to Will Wheaton would be. He is such a cool person. He has overcome so much in his trauma and his childhood abuse that he's really easy to talk to. And it was funny, at the beginning of that interview, I sat there and I'm like, I am struggling right now. He's like, what's the matter? I'm like, there is the teenage girl inside of me who wants to scream about the, oh my gosh, I'm talking to Will Wheaton. And he's like, if that's what you need to do, then do that. And I totally fangirled for about 30 seconds. And I'm like, okay, I'm good. I got this. I can be professional now. He's like, Neo, you need to let your inner child have their moment. Don't deny your inner child. And he said some very, very cool things in that interview that hit very close to home about dealing with your own past traumas. And that was a lot of fun. But also talking to him about the influence that he's had on people, the influence that Star Trek had on him. But then he tells stories talking about his friend Patrick. And I'm like, you just like so calmly talk about your friend Patrick when it's Patrick Stewart. I'm like, how do you, the disconnect in my brain as mm-hmm. he's just talking about his friend Patrick. And I'm like, no, you just said that as calmly as somebody says that there's like ducks in your pond. Like, no. He's like, oh, if I'm out in public, of course I am introducing him as Sir Patrick Stewart because my friend is a knight.
Like, that's the other level to this whole thing. You know, not only right? is it Patrick,
like,
Stewart.
Your friend has been knighted and you're just so calmly talking about, well, when Patrick and I did this, it's like, my brain hurts.
When Patrick and I went bowling, and you're
watching. I know, right? Right? And it was so funny, as he had actually talked about, there was somebody who was talking about this animal living in their backyard, and they had made this Facebook post about this animal living in their yard, and Will said he had this moment of the, that's a koala. You are so calm about the fact that you have a koala living in your backyard, when he's like, I pay for a zoo membership just to go see koala, and you just have one living in a tree in your backyard. We had talked about this koala thing, and then he says his friend Patrick, and I'm like, it's the koala. This is nuts.
It's the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing, just on different levels.
It is. And then honestly, I think my third favorite was actually a Pop Culture Addicts interview that we're pulling over to the FSF podcast, because Tim and I had the chance to sit down and talk to Darren McCarty.
Yes.
And that was so cool. After meeting him at Monroe Pop Fest last year, getting to have an hour to talk to him was amazing. My brothers got me into hockey. My older brother Charlie took me to my first minor league hockey game when I was 11. And it was just love at first sight. I mean, there was no stopping me after that. Anytime I get a chance to go to a hockey game, I'm going to a hockey game. And to get to talk to Darren McCarty, and it's like, that was really cool. And I told him that one of my early memories, because as people will remind me frequently, I am a baby. I just turned 30 at the beginning of this month. But one of my earliest memories is the brawl between the Red Wings and the Avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my dad and my brothers watching that game on TV and freaking out about what was happening. But it was a long time coming. Like, they had it coming. They just...
I think people in Denver would disagree with you on that, but we'll say, you know.
They might, but as a Red Wings fan, they had it coming. They deserved that. They knew it was coming for a year. They had time to prepare themselves. What happened for a reason. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. It's like, that was even in school. Like, I had to write, for one of my English classes in high school, I had to write a persuasive paper to convince my English teacher of whatever I had decided I was going to write this paper on. And I wrote a 6.5-page essay on why fighting should be allowed in the NHL. My teacher's like, this is not at all what I expected from you, but this is a solid argument. And I went through the Colorado-Detroit feud. I went through the Bertuzzi incident. I went through all of the reasons that people say fighting shouldn't be allowed in the NHL, and countered it with the, no, this is literally the backbone of the sport. Like, this mm-hmm. is how this sport started. Look at the origins of hockey. This is why it happens. It's like, it was funny. I remember my English teacher handing me the paper after he'd done grading it. And he's like, I don't know what your brothers have done to you. I'm like, you had them both in class. You know what they've done to me.
Did you anticipate that the teacher was going to give you back your essay and it was going to be like that scene in A Christmas Story? A plus, 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 plus across the board.
Honestly, I was fingers crossed, hoping for a solid C at that point. That A minus was pretty great.
Okay, well, there you go. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Kathleen for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all of your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a clean store, a great pool system, friendly staff. What more do you need, people? So, if you're in Central Ohio, you need to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. Just go over to wgcomics.com, which is their awesome website. Or you can follow them over on Facebook. Just look for @WG Comics. Well, let's talk a little bit about your favorite, I was going to say science fiction media, but let's open it up to pop culture media. What are some of the things that you thoroughly enjoy watching or partaking in?
Oh, man. Honestly, everything. So I am a huge Star Wars fan. I have loved Star Wars since my childhood. It's funny. It's like some people remember the first time they watched a Star Wars movie. I don't, because it was part of my life. Like my older brothers are 10 and 12 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And so anything my brothers watched, I watched because I was there. And I mean, and then I have an older sister. She's 4 years older than me too. But my brothers loved Star Wars. My brothers loved Star Trek and nerd things. And so then when Phantom Menace came out in 99, they're like, hey, I'm going to take what the two older boys took me and my sister to go see Phantom Menace in 99. And I'm like, this is awesome. That was my first theater experience with Star Wars. After having seen the original trilogy countless times, grew up watching Deep Space Nine. In 2005, when they rebooted Doctor Who, we had BBC America, and my dad's like, oh, I loved this show. I loved this show before. You guys are going to love this. And I'm like, okay, I'll try it. And that first episode with Christopher Eccleston and Billy Piper and the attacking plastic and the plastic dumpsters attacking people. And I'm like, this is the biggest piece of crap I've ever seen. This is stupid. The CGI is terrible. This is awful. Why are we watching this? But then by the end of the episode, I looked at my dad and I'm like, okay, so I'm in.
You're not the only Doctor Who fan that I've heard that from.
Oh, and it's so funny. It is so funny. It's like you start out the episode and you're like, this is absolute bull. What is this nonsense? And then you get wrapped into the story and you're like, oh, wait, no, never mind. I love this. I love this a lot. I don't feel like there's one spot where I've stuck my little nerd flag. It kind of goes everywhere. My husband and I are currently in a much delayed watch through of Stranger Things. Much, much delayed. Like, we just started season 3 last night for the first time.
You know what? There's nothing wrong with that, because this is what I have complained about for the last, say, 4 or 5 months. It used to be there was nothing good on television, and now we have too much.
Right.
And it's hard. Like, I am trying to catch up on... I have not watched Ms. Marvel yet. It took me a couple of weeks to get to The Boys, and I love The Boys. The comic is fantastic. The show I've thoroughly enjoyed. Mm-hmm. I still haven't seen The Batman because I haven't found 3 hours to sit down and watch it yet. Right. I mean, it there's just so much. And like, I actually feel somewhat overwhelmed, because now, you know, you haven't seen Ms. Marvel. Guess what's coming? She-Hulk is coming, John. Hey, right. Endor's coming, John. Hey, right. You know, so I feel like overwhelmed with all the media. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I am definitely in that same spot of my watch list is so long and ever growing, but I have to, you can only watch so much.
Right.
And they keep giving us more content that we want to watch. And then you add the struggle of whether it's that you have a day job and you can't sit and binge a TV show, or you have an almost 4-year-old who, yeah, I would love to watch things after she goes to bed, because I can't watch them when she's awake, because I won't actually be able to hear them, and B, I don't know if they're going to be scary or not. But then the tiny person deciding not to go to bed until 9:30 or 10 o'clock, and it's like, I have to function tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stay up and watch a 3-hour movie now.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen The Batman either, because I haven't had 3 hours where I can.
Right. Yeah, like I said, it's a great problem to have. Don't get me wrong, because I'm a little older than you, Kathleen. I remember when television wasn't great. And, you know, if you wanted to watch great stuff, then you tuned into The Sopranos or The Wire or whatever on whatever cable channel. But now, my God, there's so much out there.
Oh, yeah. And it's just everywhere, all the time. I love the number of streaming platform options that we have. And I know that the original purpose of the streaming platforms was to eliminate cable. And that's great. That was great in theory. But now for the individual streaming platforms to be making their content that then you can only watch on that streaming platform. And it's like, but I don't want to pay for 8 streaming platforms.
I know.
I want all of the content.
I know. I mean, it's a trap, as Admiral Akbar says. It's a trap.
And I feel like it's going to circle back around to, you're going to get like a mega streaming platform that you have to pay for. And it's like, no, we're just back to cable.
Right. Absolutely. That's the evil of it, because you know it's coming. I mean, even with the merging of different companies like Discovery and HBO Max. And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some other things that are going to get folded in, you know, different streaming services that eventually, we're going to be back to just having $150 for cable every month.
And I mean, I know that like with an Amazon Prime subscription, you can pay for extra for Starz content or HBO content or whatever. And it's like, but even that, then there's a delay on that content.
Mm-hmm.
I can get the content day of if I pay straight for Starz.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like I said, it's a vicious cycle.
It is. It's all a giant conspiracy.
Mm. You know what? I want to ask you about a couple of posts that I saw from you regarding the Michigan Renaissance Festival. Do you enjoy the RenFest?
I do. I do enjoy the RenFest. I love it.
So for somebody that's never gone, because I'll humbly admit I've never gone to a Renaissance Festival. Well, school me a little bit, Kathleen. What should I expect? What should I partake in if I would go to the RenFest?
Oh, my goodness. So that is a giant question. Because there are so many different things that you should experience at a RenFest. Depending on which one you go to, there are different options. There are different acts that are not necessarily at everyone. At the Michigan Renaissance Festival, there are two bagpipe and drum bands that I highly, highly recommend. There is Tartanic and there is Peektoos. I would say that I favor Peektoos over Tartanic, but that might just be because my daughter literally falls asleep to Peektoos. I don't know how my kid falls asleep to drums and bagpipes, but she does. And I'm not going to fight it because it works. But honestly, I mean, there are so many different acts. There's so many different vendors and booths. But honestly, you cannot go wrong with a good mead, a turkey leg, and watching the joust. That is a good way to spend part of your day. There's something relaxing about men on horseback running into each other with sticks.
Do you advise me to dress in Renaissance garb, or is that not necessarily something that you have to do?
You don't have to. The biggest thing is to make sure that you are willing to play along.
Okay.
It is interactive theater. I mean, there are the people who work there who are in character all day and play along with it. Go along with the silly, with the frivolity. Making sure somebody in your group gets arrested, it's worth it. It is worth it to pay a jailer to arrest one of your friends. At least at the Michigan Renaissance Festival, to get out of jail, you have to do a song and dance number on stage.
Oh, the song and dance. Wait, question about the song and dance. Can you do any song? Like, could you sing Mr. Roboto?
They will guide you through.
Oh.
They will guide you through. Typically, it's like I'm a Little Teapot, which is pretty great. There's one about being a happy unicorn, and the dance that goes along with that is pretty fantastic. But, I mean, just remember that it is an interactive theater experience, and treat it as such. Play along with it. Get into the groove, get into the mood, and just have fun. Pretend that you're 6 years old again, playing make-believe. But now you get alcohol.
Okay. Final question about the RenFest.
Yes.
I'm going to use myself as an example here for this question. Okay. I love pro wrestling. So when people come and say, oh yeah, I remember Hulk Hogan, I kind of like, okay, you really don't love pro wrestling. So using that as an analogy, is that what some people at the RenFest think about those folks that enjoy medieval times? Like, you enjoy the RenFest. Okay. You go to medieval times.
I can see that there is the potential of that option. That's not everybody's.
Is medieval times the evil corporate juggernaut in the world of Renaissance?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
honestly, in the Renaissance circle, unfortunately, it's becoming very evident that the evil corporate juggernaut is actually the owners of the Renaissance festivals themselves.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
That has been an issue in the last couple of years, where actually with the Michigan Renaissance Festival this year, we had been told that there was not going to be a joust troop, that the Knights of the New Order had not been signed as a contract. And it wasn't until after the owners of the Michigan Renaissance Festival got thousands of emails and complaints from people with the, we want our money back for our season tickets, that suddenly there was room for the joust again.
Okay.
There was an issue with the mermaid troupe, Siren Tales, with another Renaissance Festival earlier in the spring, where Linda Holloway, the owner of Siren Tales, posted on Facebook straight word for word what was going on, why her lawyers were involved. And it's been rough for the Renaissance Festival performers. I feel like even more than ever before, us as patrons need to make sure that we are supporting the performers, that we're supporting and tipping them, because they're not getting the love and the, I don't even know how to word things, they're not getting the love from the corporate giants that they should. They're not being treated the way that they should be treated. And that's actually allowing smaller run fairs to come up. The smaller festivals care more about the performers, not just the price tags.
You know, as I've always said, in anything, you don't want to have a monopoly. So if the smaller fests are coming around, that makes competition, and competition, I feel, is good.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. So I mean, if you're interested in going to a Renaissance festival, yes, the big ones are fun. They're established. They have everything. But the smaller festivals need your love and support too. They are just trying to pay their bills. They're just trying to make ends meet. Whereas the bigger festivals, the owners are sitting high and mighty, and it's not fair to the performers.
All right. Well, let's wrap up with a little talk about the Monroe Pop Fest.
Yeah.
Last year, you, myself, Tim, the whole crew were up in Monroe, Michigan, having a great time. It's a great convention. What did you enjoy most last year, and what are you looking forward to this year?
Oh, my goodness. So last year, because I was 6 months into podcasting, I had never even been to a Comic-Con. I had never been to a con like that. I've always wanted to. I've always wanted to go and experience something like that. But then to go and experience and then be on a panel, like running the panel room, was absolutely nuts. I had no freaking clue what I was doing. I was so out of my comfort zone, but loved it. It was absolutely spectacular to get to wear that media badge and walk around and be like, no, I'm not just here and looking and shopping. I'm part of the show. This is cool. Like that was a lot of fun last year. This year, I feel like because I'm a little more comfortable in who I am as a podcaster, that the panels are going to be a lot of fun this year. We are actually planning on running a one-shot tabletop RPG, I think Friday night. I think it's
I think so too. And I'm just going to tell the listeners real quick, do not worry. Rest assured, when the schedule is finalized, you will hear about it from me. I will not keep that under wraps. We will all let you know what the schedule is. I think as of the recording of this episode, there's still a few more panels to be scheduled and some guests to move around and whatnot. But yeah, I think we originally have it slated for Friday evening. So, keep tabs on social media for yours truly, for Kathleen, for Tim, for the Three Geeks, all that, all those fine folks, and you'll get the schedule. But go ahead. What are you looking forward to running the RPG?
My husband is actually running it. So we are making my husband come out from his editing box and be the center again. Which we started doing for our live Star Wars RPG the second Monday of the month. And so then to throw him into the panel room with us is going to be fun. I'm excited for him. I'm excited for the experience that it will be. I mean, it's a one-shot RPG. It'll either be spectacular or we'll end up having to remake characters 5 minutes into it. So we'll find out.
Okay. Well, Kathleen, where can folks find you on the social medias for you or for the podcast or whatever? Go ahead and plug website, social medias, and all that fun stuff.
All right. Well, the FSF Popcast can be found at FSF Popcast on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We do have a website, FSFpopcast.com. I should, actually know these things before I say them out loud.
Hey, you know what? There'll be links.
It is FSFpopcast.com. Look at me go.
There you go. All right.
I got it right. And the FSF Popcast is also on YouTube, also at FSF Popcast, on all audio podcast providers. If there is an audio podcast provider that you use that we are not on, message us. Let us know. We will try to fix that. Personally, I'm on Twitter at GanameGnome13, which is weird. I'm barely ever on Twitter. Honestly, it's usually just me reposting the FSF Popcast stuff. So just follow them. It's much easier. It's much more entertaining.
Well, there you go, ladies and gents. Kathleen, it's been a blast. Thank you so very much for sitting down and chatting with me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for asking me. This was great.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Kathleen Wass, talking about podcasting and her start in it and all kinds of geeky things. And I'd like to thank just one more time, Kathleen, for coming on. I really do appreciate it. And I don't know if I said it, I might have in our conversation. Definitely check out the FSF Popcast, wherever you find great podcasts. And now it's a great segue for me to tell you where you can get the PVDcast, as if you don't already know, but maybe you want to tell somebody about it. There's a bunch of different avenues for hearing each and every episode of this beloved podcast. First of all, pvdcast.com is the online home of yours truly. You're going to also find the PVDcast through all those major outlets like iHeartRadio app and Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Audible, etc., etc. All you have to do is go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And lastly, if you want an even easier way to hear the PVDcast, well, you can simply do that by checking out every Wednesday night the live Facebook broadcast of the week's episode. It's a whole lot of fun. You can hear the episode. If you have comments, you can leave them, and I will answer them back because I'm usually monitoring the feed. And love that fan interaction, if you will. So there you go. Three easy ways to hear the PVDcast. And you know what? Maybe you've listened to an episode or two and you really like them and you want to let me know about it. Well, here's how you can get in touch with me. If you want to shoot me an email, you can do that. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. And you can even leave me a note over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds of the PVDcast. Just look for, well, it's going to be repetitive, but anywho, just look for @PVDcast. Brand synergy sometimes leads to a lot of repetition. But anywho, all right, with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC. Copyright 2022.